But essentially, today is only seconds shorter than the longest day, which was 15 hours and 7 minutes of daylight, which is what we'll have today, one of the longest days of the year. We have gained 4 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. We will have lost 2 of those minutes when next we meet next Thursday, and days will continue to shorten until the winter solstice, which is December 22nd this year. That's the good thing about the winter solstice. Even though winter is beginning, days begin to lengthen. That's the silver lining. The sun rose at 5:24 this morning. It will set at 8:31 this evening. We will have 15 hours and 7 minutes of daylight today. The moon rises at 12:46 tonight after midnight. It will set at 1:19 tomorrow afternoon. We reach last quarter today. Next full moon is July 15th. Enjoy summer. Next high tides in New Rochelle, 6:09 p.m. Yonkers, 4:10 p.m. Haverstraw, 5:20 p.m. And in Peekskill at 5:33 p.m. Now a regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Lance Corporal, Marine Lance Corporal Jason D. Hill. Of course, Lance Corporal means Marines. There are no Lance Corporals anyplace else. Jason D. Hill, age 20, of Poway, California. He was with the 1st Marine Division. He died in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. All of these people died in Afghanistan on June 11th. Captain Michael W. Newton, age 30, of Newport News, Virginia. He was with the 84th Field Artillery Regiment. He died in a non-combat related incident in Faryab Province, also on June 11th. Lance Corporal Sean M. N. O'Connor, age 22, of Douglas, Wyoming. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on June 12th. Lance Corporal Joshua B. McDaniels, age 21, of Dublin, Ohio. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, died in combat in Helmand Province, June 12th. Private First Class Eric D. Suffrein, age 20, of Woodbridge, Connecticut. He was with the Army 4th Infantry. He was killed by a roadside bomb in Farah Province on June 14th. Staff Sergeant Jeremy Andrew Katzenberger, age 26, of Weatherby Lake, Missouri. He was with the 75th Ranger Regiment, killed by direct fire from enemy forces during a heavy firefight in combat operations in Paktika Province, June 14th. Private Ryan Jeffrey Larson, age 19, from Friendship, Wisconsin. He was with the 25th Infantry Division, killed by a roadside bomb in Kandahar Province on June 15th. Specialist Scott D. Smith, age 36, of Indianapolis, Indiana. He was with the Indiana Army National Guard, died of a non-combat incident at Coast Province on June 17th. Now, I don't know the details of this, but I could only speculate. Somebody from the National Guard being sent to combat, people who were in the National Guard and not in the regular Army or Marines, they don't understand that they're going to war. And when you see a non-combat incident and you know how many suicides there are among the military, you kind of have to wonder. I mean, that's what I wonder. I don't know what all these non-combat incidents are. They don't spell them out. Anyway, that's Specialist Scott D. Smith, age 36, from Indianapolis. Specialist Tyler R. Kreintz, age 21, of Belvoir, Wisconsin. He was with the 170th Infantry Brigade Combat Team, one of 4 soldiers who died of injuries suffered during a vehicle rollover accident in Oruzgan Province on June 18th. The other 3 who were killed with Specialist Kreintz or Sergeant Alan L. Snyder, age 28, of Worcester, Mass. Sergeant Edward F. Dixon III, age 37, from the 70th Armor Regiment. And Sergeant First Class Alvin A. Boatwright, age 33, from Lodge, South Carolina. And those were the other 3 that were killed in that same accident on June 18th, which is just 5 days ago. Also on June 18th, Private First Class Brian J. Backus, age 21, of Saginaw Township, Michigan. He was with the 10th Mountain Division, killed by small arms fire in Kandahar Province on June 18th. Private First Class Joshua Ibarra, age 21, of Midland, Texas. He was with the 3rd Marine Division, killed by a roadside bomb in Helmand Province, June 19th. Private First Class Gustavo A. Rios Ordonez, age 25, of Englewood, Ohio. He was with the 1st Infantry, killed by a roadside bomb in Kandahar Province on June 20th. And Sergeant James W. Harvey II, age 23, from Toms River, New Jersey. He was with the 1st Infantry, killed by small arms fire in Ghazni Province on June 20th, just 3 days ago. These 16 American soldiers and quite a number of our allies were alive on the day of our broadcast 2 weeks ago, and some of our troops who are alive at this moment will be killed before we meet again, and that's just in 1 week. We'll be back next week. So please don't forget them. Memorial Day is every day. Our guys have not stopped dying in foreign lands, far from home. Remember them, please. Each death is a great loss to their families. And to all Americans, may they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Before we get to today's guests, I would like to review Spider-Man for you. As you may know, it is the most expensive production ever mounted on Broadway. It was fraught with problems from the beginning. There were injuries, and Julie Taymor, the director, was replaced because she was very so ambitious, it just did not come together. Anyway, I did see Spider-Man. In a word, fantastic. In two words, see it. In three words, don't miss it. In four words, you will love it. And in five words, it will blow your mind. There are slow moments in most plays, musical and otherwise. The exception that comes to my mind is In the Heights, which was far less ambitious and a little more perfect, but so what? Spider-Man succeeds best when it is true to its comic book roots. It crawls a bit while building the tale, which, to be fair, it must do. But once it gets flying, spectacle takes over from story, and one is swept up through the air and up the sides of buildings. When Peter Parker first tests his new powers in his tiny room on stage, I thought, okay, ho-hum, kind of okay, but you got to do more. Well, when they got going, especially in Act Two, they took over the whole atrial airspace, all of it. They were flying right over my head. I thought that they would give me a haircut while they were at it. Spidey and the Green Goblin alit in the balcony. That's how far they flew to wow the legion of kids in attendance. And I have to give one detail up. As hero and villain, the two of them grappled above our heads. I worried that they might get their cables entangled. But the tech is flawlessly constructed and performed. The score is by Bono and The Edge, the half of U2. They were good enough. The sets were terrific. The staging was great. If you like theater or have any kid left in you and you don't see this musical, don't speak to me anymore. There is one great scene where executives from Viper, who would exploit Osborne's magical wedding of man and arachnid, goose step across the stage. Great choreography, great execution. And the video enhancements are bold and effective as well. Staging, effects, choreography, and sets are sure to be nominated for Tonys. Score and book are sure not to be nominated, but Best Musical, I can't call that one. We shall see. Most of the performances obliged only the speaking of words, hitting the spots, and having the guts to trust your life to cables, harnesses, and apparatuses. But there's one performance worthy of note. That is Patrick Page, an actor with a long Shakespearean and Broadway history. He played Norman Osborn and the Green Goblin. He delivers his lines with a panache unapproached by the other players, clearly enjoying this comic turn in great contrast to his other work. He plays the audience beautifully, and he's just great. The play is spectacular. If you go for the book or the score, you'll miss the magic of this play. Go to have a good time and to wonder at the effects, the good versus evil, and the flying. Oh, the flying. My guests today are Thomas Mark Fallon, Camille Coppola, and Vinnie Lopretto. We are all together in the New Rochelle Opera Company's production of Die Fledermaus. Camille is producer, director, head everything. She has the weight of this whole production on her shoulder. Vinnie is an actor in it and a very experienced choreographer and show business professional. And Thomas Mark Fallon is a countertenor. Now, we're just about to take our break. Here comes our music. So let me just say hello, Thomas.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. We'll get right to it right after the break. Vinny?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Get a little closer to your microphone,
good morning,
please.
Good morning.
Camille?
Hi, good morning.
How you doing? Okay, that's the cast of characters in this motley play. And when we come back, we will We will talk with them. I am Bob Levensohn. This is Environmentally Sound. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle. If you're listening in Ypsilanti, Detroit, or Benoit, Eden, or Hell, Michigan, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live, and we will be right back.
News at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, a sea of red on Wall Street after more bad news for the labor market and a surprise move by U.S. and other governments to sell some of their crude stockpiles. The blue chip seeing triple-digit losses this morning. The Dow was down more than 200 points just past 10 a.m. Eastern. It's down 190 points. 429,000 Americans filed for new unemployment benefits last week. The larger-than-expected jump in jobless claims continues a recent trend of disappointing economic data. It's also consistent with the Federal Reserve's lowered assessment of the economy. Initial claims have been above the 400,000 mark for 11 straight weeks. Oil falling sharply on news millions of barrels will be released into the world market. Over the next 30 days, the Department of Energy and the International Energy Agency will release 60 million barrels. It's an effort to offset the disruption caused by unrest in the Middle East. The U.S. plans to release a record 30 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
If you're thinking of investing your hard-earned money in the stock market, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! Wall Street lost over 45% of your money twice in the last decade, and they're about to do it again. An eye-opening free report reveals the secret Wall Street doesn't want you to know. How to grow your wealth safely every year and never lose a penny, even when the market crashes again. For a limited time, you can get this report free at bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
Welcome to Free Radio.
Free.
No download fees, no subscription fees, and
it's accepted by the American Dental Association.
WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD3.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. We would like to talk for a couple of minutes about the New Rochelle Opera Company's production of Die Fledermaus. This company has been in existence, I don't know, 26 years. At the helm is Camille Coppola. She does it all. She's a magnificent director and person. I mean, I love her to death. So Camille, tell us just a little bit about tonight's production, the origins of the opera, your place in it, and of course you're a very talented singer. You could even sing this answer if you like.
Well, thank you, Bob. It was a lovely introduction. I love you too. Well, I'm very excited because this is our third production of Die Fledermaus, meaning the bat translated. And we're doing it in English, and it's a comical opera. It's completely different from the opera we did last year, Turandot, which was a very dramatic, wonderful opera,
which
too.
Is my first.
Right. We have wonderful singers and wonderful actors. And today, we have one of your guests is Tom Fallon, who's playing one of our Orlovskys. Excited about having a countertenor, and this is our first. It's a first in New Rochelle opera.
You say one of our Orlovskys?
Yes.
Is there more than one Orlovsky?
Yes, there is, because this opera is double casted. I always have double casting in my operas because we worry about illnesses and other things that may prevent a singer from performing. So we have to have it covered, and we have each cast have two performances and covering for the other.
So they understudy for each other.
That's correct.
Okay. I didn't know.
No, they're covering. We don't use the word understudy because they're...
Because they're stars, yes.
Yes, of course.
What do I know?
No. So it's written by Johann Strauss Jr., the waltz king, and the music is beautifully written because of the beautiful waltzes, and it's just exciting music, and I just love it. I love the overture of all of it.
Mostly. Oh, it is beautiful, and yeah. Of course, the junior was far more famous than his father.
His father, yes. There was a big...
rivalry between them?
Yes, a big rivalry between them. I studied it because I give lectures on the opera. When I studied the Fledermaus, I looked into the Strauss's family background. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Junior wrote The Blue Danube, the most famous waltz
ever. Did you know that Johann Strauss Sr. would not allow his son to study music or to play an instrument, and his mother gave him the opportunity.
Really?
And then when he was There was an amends when he opened with his first big opera, and the mother begged the father to come, and then at the end there was sort of like an amicable.
Did she withhold sex to get that favor?
Oh, I don't know about that. No. I didn't get to that.
I thought she studied it.
Not that far, but anyway, he became popular with this, and this is one. I think one of his most famous. I mean, I don't think how many other pieces he wrote, but this to me is. I love it.
This opera and of course the Blue Danube, which
course,
is not
all
in
the waltzes.
It. There were other very familiar pieces.
Oh yeah, I mean, but when people hear a selection from it, they recognize the music, mm-hmm. you know. So the story's in English. We're singing in English at the Metropolitan Opera. Basically, they sing it in German, and the dialogue is done in English. Basically, they do it on New Year's Eve, but we're doing it in the summer, and hopefully, we'll have people coming enjoying it.
Is there a reason for them to do it on New Year's Eve?
Well, I guess it's because, I don't know, I guess I think it was written to be taken part on New Year's Eve. I don't know, maybe you know what Tom
maybe?
Knows. It's a big party and they sing the champagne song. And I think it's just been a ritual that they do it every New Year's Eve. Tom.
I think the champagne element is a big factor.
Right.
popping open the champagne bottles okay. and
right,
bringing
right.
in the new year.
That's
okay,
right.
So now this is, the theater is at Ursuline High School on North Avenue. What's the cross street or the address exactly?
Not far from Quaker Ridge Road. And
near Quaker Ridge Road, yeah, near the
entrance to the
corners.
The Hutchinson
River Parkway, the corners down there in Waikagill.
Right.
It's in that area. And we have a telephone number for you, don't we? There's mm-hmm. nothing on this card, is there?
Yes. Well, if they want tickets,
yeah,
and tonight is opening night. And it's 914-576-1617. And if you can't reach anyone on that number, which you should, but the lines have been busy and I've been getting the calls at 576-0365,
okay.
which is the New Rochelle Opera line.
Okay. It's certainly very reasonable for the quality you get. If you go to the Met, these tickets will cost you $200-something. Here they're $35, and the singers are professional. There are amateurs in the cast, like myself. I'm delighted to be part of this. This is my second participation. Debbie, how much time do we have before the break? Do we have time to put one of those CD cuts on? A couple minutes. Okay, that's not enough to put a cut on. So, Vinny, let's... What say you, Thomas? Want to play it in its entirety when we come back? Yeah, let's do it that way. Thomas, you are a countertenor. Now, this is a very rare voice.
Yes.
And you travel around playing in this. You live in Boston. That's your base.
Boston's my base, yes.
Boston is your base. And did Camille contact you up there, or did you happen to be in New York for something else?
Actually, when I read about the production, I sent an email to Camille in advance because I want to make sure whenever I do an audition for this particular role, which is near and dear to me,
yes.
that the people in charge casting the production are what I call countertenor friendly. In other words, that they understand the countertenor voice
right.
and that they're very open to having a real male playing the trouser role of Prince Orlovsky.
So we talk about the trouser role. Now, as Camille said, we have a double cast.
Yes.
One of them is Megan. She plays the male role. She has a mustache and a man's outfit. And she plays it. So you have a male and a female playing the same role and singing the same lines and the same notes.
Exactly.
How does that come about?
For this particular production, it's quite exciting because Camille has done a traditional casting where they use a female singing a trouser role.
That's called a trouser role.
A trouser role because the female is putting on the trousers as a female
yeah.
trying to become a male
right.
within the context of the opera.
Right.
But in my case, you have a real male with his real male anatomy and spoken voice putting on the trousers as he does 24/7,
Camille,
day in and day out.
Did you check that, Camille?
Oh, sure.
we want to vet your credentials carefully.
Exactly. But it's a wonderful role. And there are many trouser roles, actually, that are out there for mm-hmm. me, which I'm dabbling in. I just had a production this past February with the Alexandria Symphony Orchestra. It was in Virginia, outside of D.C., uh-huh. and it was on Valentine's weekend. And they brought me in as guest artist specifically because of this whole aspect of love to bring me in and do all trouser roles singing love arias. So I was able to sing Cherubino and La Noce di Figaro, and I did the Non So Più and the Voi Che Sapete. I did Cybele's aria from Gounod's Faust, Fête Louis Mes Aveux, which is a wonderful love aria presenting of the flowers to Marguerite. And then Arsace's aria by Rossini in Semiramide. Another wonderful trouser role is Hansel in Hansel and Gretel. okay, which is a wonderful Christmas story as well. Exactly,
yeah.
And I think you've done Hansel, the production
of
Hansel and Gretel here.
Yes.
So once we get going into the trouser roll world, we can keep going and going at that point.
But you don't just do opera, you do pop stuff as well.
Right, I'm very blessed. My repertoire is quite extensive. In addition to opera, I have a very strong background in oratorio. All of the Handel oratorios, Messiah, Israel and Egypt, Saul by Handel. My first debut in France was in Carmina Burana, which is the Roasted Swan.
Okay, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will hear Thomas Mark Fallon. We have him on CD, and I think you'll be amazed at his voice. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. This is Bob Loventhal. My program is called Environmentally Sound, and of course, as you see, we go way afield into culture and so many other things. If you're listening in Parsippany, New Jersey, Oxnard, California, Grouse Creek Junction, Hard Up, or Hog Up, Utah, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. President Obama announces last night,
we will be able to remove 10,000 of our troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year.
Admiral Mike Mullen okay with that after some early qualms.
The president's decisions are more aggressive and incur more risk than I was originally prepared to accept. More force for more time is, without doubt, the safer course. But that does not necessarily make it the best course.
Many Republicans think we're getting out too soon.
We need our commander-in-chief to remind the American people why this fight must be won, and to reassure our military service members and their families that their sacrifices are not in vain.
House Armed Services Committee Chairman Buck McKeon. Many Democrats think the sooner we're out, the better.
We cannot afford to continue this effort. Not when crying needs are here in America.
Congressman Earl Blumenauer of Oregon. This is a Fox News alert.
You know, almost everything we purchase in our lives decreases in value the moment we pay for it. The car we buy, the clothes we wear, the one item that we can spend money on that will increase in value is our home. This is Michael Dick. I've been a home remodeler and general contractor in Westchester for over 25 years. Join me for the Westchester Home Show every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. on 1460 WVOX. I'll show you how to increase the value of your most important asset, your home. Learn about everything from marketing your home, getting a mortgage or home improvement loan, even going through the renovation process of a new kitchen, bathroom, or landscaping to make your house really stand out. Take advantage of my expertise to help you every Tuesday afternoon at 5 on the Westchester Home Show, only on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com.
We're looking for the next Mike Francesa, Michael K., Boomer and Carton, or WVOX alum John Bronstein.
WVOX and WVOX Worldwide at WVOX.com now has program time available for rising young sports broadcasters.
And you can now produce or host an hour or half hour for your own sports talk show.
Our David O'Shaughnessy has all the details about special reduced airtime costs for independent sports talk producers.
Call David now to reserve your own weekly time slot and start booking your own guests. 914-636-1460 for special prices for sports talk show hosts on WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and Resenter. We have a flash flood watch in effect for today and tonight. Those of heavy storms are expected with the possibility of some downpours, along with thunderstorms and showers during the daytime today. Mainly cloudy for much of the daytime, but our temperatures will range into the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Might get some peaks of sun, but again, the bigger feature, the showers and thunderstorms expected for your Thursday. For this evening, more showers and some heavy thunderstorms with downpours possible. Our nighttime low temperatures will settle into the mid-60s. Friday's weather, areas of fog in the morning. Variably cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs near 80. Lows at night will settle back to around 60 degrees, still with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And Saturday, back to partial sunshine. High temperatures near 80. A slight chance of a late-day thunder shower. Sunday, mostly sunny, lower 80s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
How about you get on the radio?
And you broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
Call David O'Shaughnessy, 914-636-1460.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. We are speaking with the boss lady of the New Rochelle Opera Company.
Boss lady.
She's okay. She's the creative spirit, let's say.
That's bad.
And Vinnie Lopretto, who is he's just so theater involved that we can't tick off his credentials right now. And Thomas Mark Fallon, who is a countertenor. Now, in case you don't know what a countertenor is, which I did not until this current production, you will be surprised. We're going to play you a cut from one of his CDs. It's a song you all know. Danny Boy, and keep in mind that this is the man singing tenor as countertenor.
Oh.
Ooh. Got goosebumps listening to that.
That was beautiful.
That was, ladies and gentlemen, that was countertenor Thomas Mark Fallon. Thomas Mark Fallon, amen. Singing that in an extraordinary voice. It's called the countertenor voice. Tell us about being a countertenor. What is your experience of it? It's so rare that I guess you're in demand. And how do you get such beauty out of a man's body?
Bob, it's been a very exciting and continues to be an amazing vocal journey for me. I was very fortunate. My first vocal teacher, I owe so much gratitude to John Heyer, which was a great name for a voice teacher, for someone who always sings in the treble clef. His last name was Heyer. But I began my studies with John when I was boy soprano at the age of 10. And I was only in his studio for 2 weeks. And I arrived for my third lesson. And there on the piano was the Giancarlo Menotti score to A Mall in the Night Visitors. And the local Methodist church was mounting a production and were holding auditions for the lead boy soprano, and he turns to me and he said, Tommy, in those days I was known as Tommy, he said, I want you to audition for this role because it is perfect for you.
And you were how old at this time?
I was 10 years old.
So your voice hadn't changed anyway.
No, I was a boy soprano.
Nobody knew what you were going to become.
Exactly. I was a boy soprano, and I'm one of 9 children, and I had a wonderful experience where we lived next door to a public school where there was a swimming pool and a merry-go-round and a set of swings. And with all of the activity in a house of 9 children, I would escape all of the activity, run next door to the playground, jump on the swing, and my job was to touch the top of the chain link fence with my feet. So the higher I swung, the higher I sang, okay? And I started to sing and pick up these wonderful a cappella melodies, and it was this beautiful soprano voice. And yeah. I went into John's studio at the age of 10, did this audition, won the audition, and I was only studying with him for 5 months, memorized the role of Amal, and then I was crippled in this character where you could start to walk. Mm-hmm. And it was an unbelievable experience with full orchestra and a dance teacher and the whole bit. So successful that John drove me a year later when I was 11 out to Indiana University in Bloomington to audition for the original King Melchior, David Aiken, who had premiered the opera on NBC television. And he was auditioning 50 boy sopranos, and I was able to compete, and I won from the East Coast. Wow. I left school for 3.5 months, joined the union when I was 11, and was able to sing them all over the country.
But when you hit puberty, I mean, what happened there?
Well, it was interesting. After them all, I went into a national tour of Oliver and then the Bernstein Chichester Psalms and so forth. And it was a wonderful ride as a young boy performing. I was making good money and saving money for
school.
And
worrying about puberty.
Right. When then I walked into the studio one day, and John says, Tommy, he said, this has been an unbelievable ride for you, but now we're going to face a very interesting time where your voice is going to change. Yeah. And he said, some vocal pedagogues or teachers have recommended that you stop studying and just let the voice naturally change. But he says, your technique and your ear in terms of ability to memorize and the technique that we've worked on is so amazing. He said, I don't really think we should throw that out the window. And he says, I would like to take you through your vocal change process.
Whoa.
So what we did was the high E's and D's, which I had as a boy soprano, which I lost as the voice, as the body changed and as the vocal cords thickened.
Yes.
The higher notes, the F sharps and the G's and the A's, they became stronger. And then he took me down into virgin territory, which would be the mezzo, contralto, alto range, which I never sang in as a boy soprano. Right. Took me down like Star Wars, going to places you've never gone before.
So you gained low.
I gained lower.
That's Star Trek, by the way.
Exactly, almost a whole octave on the bottom.
But you didn't lose from the top.
And I didn't lose. I just lost a few notes way above the high C.
Incredible.
So anyway, he worked on the passaggio, going from the chest to the middle to the upper range. And then we had this 3-octave voice, and then it needed a name. And here I was now going through high school, and a speech coach was working on the spoken voice. And so we said, what is this called? And it became a countertenor voice.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and we'll come back. Countertenors have been around for, I mean, it wasn't created the term was not created
I didn't
for
create
you.
The term.
Okay, we're gonna have to take a break. We are speaking with Vinnie Lopretto, Camille Coppola, and Thomas Mark Fallon, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Speaking to Congress about President Obama's plan to pull 30,000 troops from Afghanistan this summer, his Joint Chiefs Chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen.
The president's decisions are more aggressive and incur more risk than I was originally prepared to accept. More force for more time is, without doubt, the safer course. But that does not necessarily make it the best course.
Because, he says, that might have deepened Afghanistan's dependence on American support. The president visits Fort Drum in upstate New York today. New home sales down 2% last month. More unemployment claims than expected filed last week, 429,000.
I'm sorry that he did all this.
And Melinda Brady says her husband robbed a Long Island, New York drugstore for painkillers, killing four people. For her, because she was sick. David Laffer's charged with murder. His wife is charged with robbery. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Where you going, baby? Summertime is here. Rides galore, a great family deal. Lights that spark, get behind the wheel. Everybody's going down to Playland Park. Have some fun today at Playland Park.
Some fun today at Playland. Ride all your favorites all summer long with a Playland Season Pass. Woo! Bring the family and friends and start the summer right with a ride on the famous Dragon Coaster, Superflight, the Playland Plunge, and more. Playland, just minutes away in Rye, New York. Go to rideplayland.org for schedule information.
Everybody's going down to Playland Park. Have some fun today at Playland Park.
You know, almost everything we purchase in our lives decreases in value the moment we pay for it. The car we buy, the clothes we wear, the one item that we can spend money on that will increase in value is our home. This is Michael Dick. I've been a home remodeler and general contractor in Westchester for over 25 years. Join me for the Westchester Home Show every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. on 1460 WVOX. I'll show you how to increase the value of your most important asset, your home. Learn about everything from marketing your home, getting a mortgage or home improvement loan, even going through the renovation process of a new kitchen, bathroom, or landscaping to make your house really stand out. Take advantage of my expertise to help you every Tuesday afternoon at 5 on the Westchester Home Show, only on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Arlene Salmon, County Legislator Jim Masano, Matthew O'Shaughnessy, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
We have ways of making you talk.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
WVOX Worldwide.
WVOX.
Okay, we're back. We are shortened a little bit by about a minute today, so let's get right to it. A couple of things we'd like to do to begin this segment. Tom, did you want to say anything else just to finish what your thought, or should we get right into the Mozart?
No, I just like to encourage your listening audience, come one and all to this wonderful production of Die Fledermaus. I've had an opportunity to sing the role of the prince in other productions, but tonight we've got something for everyone. There's a wonderful chorus, mm-hmm. dancers, principal singers, wonderful
servants.
Orchestra.
Don't forget the servants.
And the servants as well,
servant.
Bob.
I'm a servant. Okay. Although Camille won't let me catch the glass.
Maestro Greg Ortega, wonderful orchestra, dancers, chorus, come one and all. It's a wonderful production.
Tonight is opening night. We've had our dress rehearsals, and I've sat in the audience for some of them, some parts of them, and I'm personally impressed. So tonight is opening night. It's at Ursuline. Curtain is 8 o'clock. There are still some seats available, and if it does rain, so what? What are you We'll see. Come on out anyway.
And Bob, if they want to hear me, come on Friday night and Sunday afternoon
as well.
That's right.
That's right. Because there's alternate casts tonight. We have Megan in the role of Orlovsky. But if you want to hear Thomas, and that's an experience. I mean, Megan is a great gal, a great singer, but Thomas is an experience. By all means, come tomorrow. But you can come to more than one production, too. Why not? Okay, we're going to play a piece. Just introduce it, Thomas, please.
Yes, this is another trouser roll aria from La Nozze di Figaro by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It's the Non so più cosa son cosa faccio, one of his two little love arias in La Nozze di Figaro.
I hope you got all that and you understood all that. Basically, it's La Nozze di Figaro translates to The Marriage of Figaro, which is what we know it as. Let's hear that, Debbie. Again, that was Thomas Mark Fallon. Yes, Thomas, a man singing that high. He's called the countertenor. I've got just a couple of quick questions, and then we'll ask Vinny to tell us some stuff about the role he's playing. One thing I'd like to ask you is, are there any women who have lower voices, who fit into the male range? Is there a counterpart for the countertenor in the female voice?
In the operatic world, you don't find that too often, Bob, but I, as a choral director as well, it was interesting. I used to have some females who wanted to sing tenor, okay? So they were not comfortable singing soprano or alto, so, but their range fit right into
range
the tenor
was
range.
There. Okay, yeah. All right. Now, why do people write it? Why does a composer write a male role in this range?
What's interesting, I think if you go into the musicological history, there's a whole period of time when females were not even allowed to perform on the operatic stage.
So that's the answer.
Or in the church cathedrals and so forth. They were just not non-existent. It was all an all-male domain.
Yeah.
So composers wrote specifically for them at that particular time.
Okay. I hate to cut you off because
sure.
I could talk to you for so long, but I'd like Vinny to talk about the role of Frosch, which he is playing tonight. And about his alternate, who is also playing it on alternate nights. Go ahead, Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny Loprato.
Hey. Well, I've been associated with the New Rochelle Opera Company since 2000, primarily as a chorus member, because I don't profess to have a great operatic voice, but I enjoy singing with my choir and stuff like that. But Camille, our wonderful director, asked me if I wouldn't mind covering for the part of Froese. We have a professional opera singer, Anthony LaSciura, who has done about 100 productions at the Metropolitan Opera in various roles. But now that he's gotten older, he's on an HBO series and a regular running part of Boardwalk Empire. And he told Camille he's been dying to do this part of Froese. It's a non-singing role, but it affords great acting ability and a very funny part.
Yes.
So since he's involved with the HBO series and couldn't make all the rehearsals, she asked me to please cover for him. Well, as it turns out, he has to film the series tonight, opening night, and possibly can't make Saturday either.
Wow.
So I'm going on.
You're going to play both nights for sure?
I'm doing both nights so far.
Okay.
And I'm delighted. It's a fun part.
No doubt.
Anthony is great, and he's been such a wonderful mentor. I mean, he's just so spontaneous and so eager and really a nice person, you know, not at all affected, you know, being a professional the years that he is. And he's been a big asset to us, and we enjoy being with him.
Cool. Camille, would you like to say a couple of things?
Well, and I'm very, very, very grateful to Vinny for accepting to do this role because, after all, you know, he's been with me, and I appreciate him being in all the operas he's been in various roles. But to take on this, it's a big thing, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate Anthony accepting to do it also. But I met him when we would do it when there was the Marcello Giordani event, and when I told him I was doing Flight of Mouse, he says, "Who's doing the part of Froese?" And I said, "Not yet." And he said, "Oh, I just want to do that." I said, "Okay. Well, we'd love to have you." And that's how that all came about.
Okay, I just say, if you've never been to an opera before, this is a really good opera to come and see. Because it's funny.
It's light.
It's in English.
And it's in English.
And the music is delightful. It's very well cast. The set, the costumes, it's better than any Broadway show. It's really, really good.
It is really good. Thomas Mark Fallon, again, we have actually the privilege, but I've never even heard of a countertenor, much less heard one sing, or sat across the table from such a nice fellow as well. Sings in the soprano range, or mezzo, exactly what range is it?
Yeah, if you close your eyes, you're hearing almost a male mezzo-soprano sound.
I don't know what that means, a male mezzo-soprano sound. But it's just, I have seen Thomas in rehearsal and heard Thomas in rehearsal, and I know exactly what's going to come out of his mouth when he opens it, and yet it still astounds me when he opens his mouth, and it's like I'm listening to a female voice coming out of a man.
Yeah.
And it's quite
And
something.
I think, Bob, your audiences should come. That's a big added plug to the production. If they've never heard a countertenor live, it's a wonderful role for them to come.
It is a wonderful role. Well, I was just listening to that CD.
I have trouble with the G.
I got goosebumps. Okay, well, I thank you all for being here. This is a wonderful production. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being in it. Of course, being in the presence of Camille Coppola is a privilege in and of itself.
Thank you.
Being part of her production is just really special. And she really has the weight of this production on her shoulders. She has to, and she's not a big gal. She's about 4'10" or something
nine.
Like that. Nine.
Wish nine. I was 4'10".
She's a little lady, and she handles everything just so well. So thank you very much, Camille.
Thank you.
Vinny and Thomas Mark Fallon. I'd like to thank you all for coming to our studio today. I hope many of you will come to Ursuline High School tonight, Friday or Saturday nights or Sunday afternoon or two, three or all four of them. I'll be there for all four of them. We all will. Mm-hmm. The costumes are great. Okay, my pants were falling down during dress rehearsal. But you will enjoy it. Our thought for the week: in all things, success depends upon previous preparation, and without such preparation, there is sure to be failure. Next up, Howard Sturman, the peerless publisher.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter, President of